Turn again with me to the book of Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter 9 tonight. We're going to examine the fifth trumpet as we continue our series through this book. Revelation, chapter 9. We're going to cover the first 12 verses of this chapter tonight. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious Holy Word? And you know this is precious, don't you? Sometimes it's easy to take it for granted and not stop and realize that we are holding in our hands the Word of God, in which there is no error, but is completely inspired, and God gave us this Word to speak to us. So as we look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given the power, as scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their hands were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like woman's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had as a king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek his name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve Long, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right. Tonight we study the fifth trumpet, or what some call the first woe. And as we begin this chapter 9, we find the fifth angel sounding this fifth trumpet. And John says he saw a star fallen from heaven. Now, this morning I told you that you should always interpret literally until you had reason to do otherwise, okay? And as you look in verse 1 here, you have a reason to do otherwise, okay? And the reason I say that, if you'll notice the star there that had fallen, okay, is not a literal star. And the reason I say that, as you read this verse, it says, "To him was given the key to the bottomless pit." So this isn't a star like you see in the sky, but it's something or closer, someone else. Now, there are different opinions on who this star is. Some say it's Jesus. And we know that according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus did say, "I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of hell and of death." And this bottomless pit that we read about here is, in fact, hell. Okay? Some people believe that's Jesus. I do not. Okay? And there are a couple of reasons that I believe that it's not Jesus. And the first is the word "fallen." Okay? That word fallen means just what it says, fallen. Okay? Or to descend with thrust or power. Okay? And if you'll notice, that word fallen means it's already happened. Okay? Now, Jesus has never fallen from anything. He has descended, okay, to the earth to become a man and ascended back to the Father. But he has never fallen. So that's the first problem I have with this star being Jesus. And the second problem that I have in the text, it said, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Well, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, that I shared with you just a moment ago, he's already got it. He said, I have the keys of death and hell. So I think it's someone else. Now, who do I think it is? I think it's Satan. Okay? The reason that I think it's Satan, if you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like a lightning, or like lightning from heaven. Now, that word fall, it's pretty interesting, is the same Greek word used in Revelation chapter 9 that we read about here, astrape. It's the same Greek word used there as well as here. So we've got a match there. And the second thing, okay, is that he was given the key, like I'd mentioned a while ago. He was granted the key. I believe God, Jesus, has granted him the opportunity to literally open hell. Now that sounds pretty bold, but let's continue on, okay? Because and the point of this, maybe I shouldn't even have gone into it, because the point is not who this star is. The point is what this star does. Okay? And this star opens, given the key to the bottomless pit. He opens, literally, hell. And you know where hell is, right? Hell is at the center of the earth. Okay? I'm fully convinced of that one. Because everywhere you read about hell in the Bible, it's always referred to as being beneath or down, okay? Isaiah 14, 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which was the Hebrew for hell, and to the lowest depths of the pit. Numbers 16. Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 16. The earth opened and swallowed the Israelites who had rejected Moses and Aaron, and it talks about the earth swallowing them up and them going down into the pit. I believe hell is real, don't you? And I believe that I'm fully convinced that it's in the center of the earth, where it's already proven that the earth's center is a rolling mass of molten rock and liquid fire, you know? But that's not the point of this message either, right? So as the pit or as hell is opened up, smoke literally billows out and fills the air and blocks out the sun. All there is smoke as this star opens hell. Do I think he really opens hell? Is that literal? Absolutely. Okay. And out or accompanying this smoke is a multitude, maybe millions, maybe more than that, of locust, well, let's just call them literally demon locusts from hell. Okay? That's what they are. That's what they, and you know, and I've heard people try to take this and make it out that they're airplanes and you know, the missiles on the airplanes and the rockets. No, okay? Airplanes are not in hell. All right? This is literal opening of hell, and they are locust creatures from hell itself. And their purpose is not to come upon the land and eat the grass and eat the trees and eat the vegetation. They will not care about the vegetation. But their purpose is literally to torment mankind. All of those who do not have the seal of God in their forehead. Remember the 144,000 that were sealed a couple chapters ago? All those who do not have the seal of God will taste the wrath of God at this point. And in verse 5 talks about their torment being like the sting of a scorpion. Now, there are 1,500 species of scorpions on the earth. I looked that up, okay? And most of the scorpions are not that bad, okay? As far as the poison and life-threatening. There's 30 species that are life-threatening, okay? But they all said the same thing about all 1,500 species. And you know what that was? It hurts when they sting you, okay? I've never had been stung by a scorpion, okay? But I have been stung by about every other kind of bee that there is, you know? Living on the farm, and Beth and I were redoing the house in Lone Oak a couple years ago. And I picked up a paint bucket, and it was, I'm not sure if it was spring or fall that when that was, but there was one of those big old yellow wasps that was hidden under the lip of that paint bucket. And when I reached down and picked up that paint can, that big old yellow wasp stung me right there on the end of my thumb. And you know, he stung me right there, but I promise you, it hurt in my big toe. It went all the way to the bone. It hurt. I mean, that guy got me, and he got me good. Okay? Like I say, I don't know what the sting of a scorpion's like, but if it's like a bee sting, it hurts. Now, I can take one bee sting. Right? That, I whined. You know what Beth said? Oh, get over it. You know, I whined and sucked on my thumb for a while and all that. I could take that. But had you unleashed an army of those yellow wasps on me and they started stinging me all over, it would have gotten real serious real quick. Okay? Now, this army of demon locusts from hell are going to be unleashed out of the pit of hell. Smoke's going to escort them. So likely as not, they won't even see them coming because the sun is darkened and the air is darkened with the smoke that ascends up out of hell. It talks about the sound of their wings being like the sound of many chariots and horses running into battle. You'll know they're coming, but you won't see them. Not initially anyway. And they'll be here for 5 months upon this earth. And their goal will be to torment mankind, stinging and stinging and stinging. And they'll inflict such a torment upon the people of this earth at that time that man's desire will literally be to die. The Bible says in the text that we read that men will seek death and death will flee from them. Have you ever seen a person that had suffered so much that death was a welcome sight to them? Time and time again, as a pastor, I've been at the bedside of dear saints who had gone through long health battles and had them look at me and say, "Brother Doug, I'm ready to go home." And I can understand and I can appreciate that. I'm not sure I can fathom the pain and the torment that would be so bad that a man just wants to die. Now that's serious, right? That is the pain that these locusts will inflict upon mankind. During that time, men will seek death. I believe men will try to kill themselves, but can't do it. Possibly taking a gun and shooting themselves, and that only adding to the torment, but they won't die. Trying to hang themselves, that only adding to the torment, but they won't die. Taking medicine to the point of overdosing, and it'll only add to the torment, but they won't die. I can't tell you exactly what it's going to be like, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm glad I'm on God's side. You know? Because these creatures will literally unleash hell on earth to mankind that's here. I mean, look at the description. Their shape is like a horse. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. Faces like a man. Hair like a woman. Teeth like a lion. And breastplates like iron. See, there won't be any killing them. Won't be any stopping them. And for 5 months, their job, their desire, and their goal will be just simply to torment mankind. And the text that we read says, and they had a king, a leader. This leader is, of course, Satan himself. Okay? Abaddon, that word Abaddon means destruction. Apollyon means destroyer. The goal of this leader is the destruction of man. Okay? Now here's what I want you to get in closing. This is the only one we're going to cover tonight. But here's what I want you to get. Friend, mankind has an enemy. Okay? And make no mistake, that enemy is just as real as God is. Okay? You believe in God, right? You believe in Jesus? Aren't they wonderful? But you also got to know there is a Satan whose very name means destruction. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is a cheat. And he started his deception in the Garden of Eden. And all the 6,000 years of mankind, his goal has been the destruction of mankind. His desire is to destroy you. And there's only one way to win. And that's by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ. Listen, are you a child of God? As I mentioned this morning, this is not a fairy tale. This is real. I cannot imagine the suffering and the torment that's going to take place as God pours out His wrath upon this earth. But make no mistake, you don't have to suffer it. You don't have to be tormented if you're a child of God. Okay? Tonight I ask you, are you saved? Very blunt, very straightforward. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? If you're not going to heaven, why not ask Jesus to save you tonight? Right where you are, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to just beg you with all that I am. Right where you are, will you pray the prayer of salvation? Knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life paying for your sin upon Calvary. And knowing that He says that whoever calls upon Him will be saved. Will you right there where you are ask Him to save you and receive Him as your personal Savior so that you can have assurance? Listen, I love knowing where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? Do you have the assurance of heaven? If not, right now, ask Jesus to save you. I want to offer something else. Something else this should do to us is children of God. It should give us a burden for those who are lost. It should put feet on our prayers for the lost. A willingness to share Jesus. tonight, I'm going to ask you especially to pray for those that you know who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We're going to have a verse of invitation in just a moment. And if you need to make a move, if you need to be saved, I'll invite you to come. But right now, let us all earnestly pray for the lost of our community. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this sharp warning. But Lord, we also thank you for your love and your long-suffering and your desire for all men to come to repentance. So Lord, I pray that if there is one here tonight who does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that today, right here, right now, they'll pray asking you to save them. And Lord, I also pray for us as your children. Lord, give us a burden for the lost. We know this is not going on forever. We know we can't continue on the road that we're on. We know that soon Jesus is going to return. So help us, Lord, to number our days and to make the most of the opportunity that you have placed before us by being a constant witness for you. We give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name.